To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh, I think, you know, I played that Delta Airlines audio. I was thinking about using that for audio cut of the day, but it is the home opener and the season opener for the St. Louis Blues tonight. A lot of you heading into downtown right now. You know, John Gruden jumped on board with the Blues late in the season in the spring. And, you know, we played some of the audio earlier this week because maybe it was last week. Eli Drinkwitz, the coach of the Tigers, sent a nice package to John Gruden where he opens this up. It's kind of his social media gimmick, if you will. But he has a nice message for Blues fans that will probably be used here for audio cut of the day. I'm so excited because, and I'm a little bummed that I'm going to miss sports tonight because there's not only good baseball on, but a hell of an NFL game with the Giants and the Eagles. But John O'Leary is going to join us tomorrow night in the 5 o'clock hour. I love John. I've known him for a long time. His story is amazing. It's been well known here in St. Louis for decades that John was playing with fire. He lit himself on fire. He, you know, should have been dead. They didn't expect him to live. And he remarkably not only survived, but went on to live this amazing life. He's got a great family. He's on the speaking circuit. His story is more than just a little inspirational. And then the St. Louis aspect, which makes it even more fascinating, is that a broadcaster by the name of Jack Buck, and some of you might even be too young to remember Jack Buck, probably not most of you. He was Joe's dad, but he was a hell of a Cardinals announcer and national sports announcer. Some people will tell you they like Jack Buck better than Joe. I'm not a Joe hater. I like Joe Buck on play-by-play. But William H. Macy plays Jack Buck, who is credited by John literally saving his life. So my daughter is extremely excited because I've told her John's story. She's seen the trailer. We're going tonight, and then John will be on the show tomorrow. On the Mizzou front, my friend Chris Trevino will give us a preview here of the Mizzou-Alabama game coming up at 5:32. That's a huge game in Columbia this weekend. Also, we got some interesting news from Los Angeles yesterday about the Palisades fire investigation. They made a very interesting arrest, and Brian Ping is a St. Louis native. He is an anchor for KNX Radio in Los Angeles. He was our correspondent during all those fires, certainly at the early part of this year in January. He's going to join us here in a few minutes as well. But right now, we have United States Senator Eric Schmidt back on the program. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You know what's interesting? I didn't realize it until I just did an interview with Scott Jennings, and then immediately to Mark Reardon. I mean, how about that? Like, the universe is healing. It's a great day for me.
You've gotten a chance to know my friend Jennings a little bit, haven't you, in the past few months?
Yeah, we were in Iowa actually at an event about a month ago, and then I've seen him in the CNN like kind of green room. He does, like, if I'll go on with Caitlin Collins, where I put on my body armor for an interview like that, and then he's doing like that roundtable. But yeah, he's a good guy, and we communicate, as you know. Huge Cardinals fan.
Yes.
So we get to commiserate about that a little bit. So
yeah, let's skip that topic for this interview. What do you say?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, let's start with something really, really important. That's this Middle East peace deal. I mean, I'm always one to be a little skeptical. I've been around for many decades covering Middle East peace, and ceasefires don't ever seem to work out. But this one does seem to be different. So there's a lot of celebration. If these hostages get released as planned, I mean, that in and of itself is huge. Your thoughts on what President Trump has achieved here?
Yeah, I mean, he is, I think, establishing himself as the peacemaker in chief and should get the Nobel Prize, by the way. This is what was perceived as intractable. It's generational. It's longstanding. And it only would have happened because, or it only did happen because President Trump was very committed to this process. And so it's phase one. So phase one is the ceasefire. The hostages are released. That's a big deal. And I know that I don't want to, you know, understate it. Like, that's actually a really big deal. And it only happened because I think President Trump, America was committed to this to kind of, and a lot of lives are going to be saved. And it's a really good thing. And then the second phase to it will be, and that's going to continue to be negotiated, is what does that governance look like? But the fact is that President Trump has the Arab states involved and invested in this and really kind of building on his success with the Abraham Accords. So it's just, you look around, whether it's Cambodia and Thailand or Kosovo and Serbia or Pakistan and India or Armenia and Azerbaijan. And now this, it's a pretty impressive string of success, which is a good thing.
It really is. And I'm still kind of keeping my ears open to see. I know Senator Fetterman heaped high praise on President Trump. Will any of the other Democrats be able to do that if this all falls into place the way it seems like it is?
I would hope so. I think it's kind of like a Rorschach test, man. If you can't say good job and as an American, we're happy to see it, you know, you may want to check into a mental ward or something. You know what I mean? I would hope that you'd have more Democrats at least say that this is a good thing. And again, there's no other way to look at it. It just wouldn't have happened without President Trump's leadership.
All right, shutdown madness. Where are we going to go from here? I mean, I think that they have no leverage. I don't see how they get out of this without, you know, caving eventually. They want you guys to address these healthcare subsidies that expire at the end of the year. Where do you think this is going?
Well, traditionally, when you have this kind of shutdown politics, which is stupid, right? Like, first of all, we need I'm advocating for a structural change. When you get to September 30th, you should continue to fund government at that level while you're working on appropriations bills, right? That's really what the Republicans are saying, is we're going to get a 7-week extension to work on more appropriations bills. Chuck Schumer never did that. He never had appropriations bills on the floor. So Republicans really trying to reform it to get back to what's called regular order. And then, by the way, those in have to be bipartisan. You have to get 60 votes on appropriations bills. And so that's a very reasonable thing. What the Democrats now are interjecting is partisan politics, divisive stuff that you might want to have that debate, right? We can have a debate on healthcare. We can have a debate on military or on law enforcement, whatever it might be, but you don't hold the government hostage for that. And typically when that kind of thing happens, the exit ramp is a clean CR, a clean continuing resolution, which is what Republicans have offered. So I know that some of the media are trying to spin this like the two parties can't come together. There's finger pointing. This is actually really clear. If the media was honest and treated like any other shutdown, they would say that the Democrats are shutting the government down because they refuse to fund the government. And that's what's happening. So we'll see how it plays out. But I agree with you. I think, though, that what's really happening, Mark, it's less about their offer, which is $1.5 trillion in spending, funding for health care for illegal immigrants and non-citizens. That's all true. That's their offer. But if you peel back the onion, the psychology behind this is they think they got to show that they're fighting against Trump, and they're the resistance. And that's just really destructive, I think, for the country.
This story broke a couple of days ago, Senator, about the tracking of phone calls from Jack Smith. This happened before you were. You might feel a little left out here. Senator Hawley was tracked, but you were not quite in the United States Senate at the time. This is another one of those things that's extremely troubling, it would seem. Now, I've heard some of your Democrat colleagues in the Senate, even Chris Coons, even some of the crazy ones, express concern over this. This is a pretty serious situation. Now, I've made it clear that it doesn't seem like there was wiretapping. Senator Hawley said wiretapping. I don't think they were listening in on calls, but we still have a lot of questions here.
Yeah, well, we don't know that yet. So all we know from that briefing is that there's call logs from calls that came into those phones, calls that went out in the location. But that doesn't mean that they didn't get text messages or other things too. So we just don't know that yet. Secondly, actually, I was involved in this. I wasn't in the Senate, but this Arctic Frost operation, Mark, was broader than just those 8 senators. They pulled in the Republican Attorneys General Association. I happened to be the chairman at the time. Ashley Moody, who's now the senator from Florida, she was on the executive committee at the time. So you pull in two now sitting U.S. senators are part of that. They were also, that net was cast to Turning Point USA and Charlie Kirk, the Republican Governors Association. It's really, I mean, it makes Watergate seem like small potatoes. And I think that what's really important, what I tried to do in that hearing this week, was let's just tell the story. What's the tale of the tape? Russiagate was made up by Hillary Clinton to distract from email problems. The intelligence agencies, including Comey and Brennan and all those people in charge in 2016, used that to get Obama to spy on Trump. So you're spying on a political candidate. Then when Trump won, they used it to try to sideline and further this lie, sideline his presidency. Then the FBI, leading up, they couldn't let him win again in 2020, suppresses the Hunter Biden laptop story, said it was a Russian hack and leak operation. They knew that was false. Then 3 days after Joe Biden becomes president, they start their censorship operation, which we uncovered in the Missouri versus Biden case. And they also started to surveil sitting senators and other groups who were Republicans in this. And by the way, then Trump announces in 2022, they thought he was gone, announces he's running again. 3 days after that, Jack Smith is activated. Fannie Willis is activated. The number three person at DOJ goes to Alvin Bragg's office. This was a whole of government effort to weaponize the Justice Department to go after political enemies. And when you lay that out, it is hard for anyone to deny this is the worst abuse of our justice system we've ever seen in this country. And so when you hold those people accountable, that's not the same thing, right? When we've seen the weaponization we've seen, Mark, and then you want to go do something about it to make sure those people are held to account, that is not weaponization. That's holding people accountable.
Yeah.
So we can't ever let this happen again.
Well, you were asked that question, and I played that audio a couple of days ago. You were asked, you know, in a little bit of a gaggle, do you think that Trump's Justice Department is acting politically by going after Trump's enemies? And you made that distinction the other day.
Yeah, no, I think we have to be very clear about that. Because if we let the Democrats and the mainstream media, the legacy media, muddy the waters on it, right? They'll do it again. That's the thing. That's what I worry them. I don't want the Justice Department to be weaponized. You have to have a lot of restraint in those roles. I wrote that book, you know, The Last Line of Defense, that people can check out right now. But I could write another book on things I didn't do as Attorney General. Because, you know, when the evidence isn't there, you just don't move forward. You certainly don't go after political enemies or criminal prosecution. They crossed all those lines, Mark. And we just can't let it happen again. And I think that's why there's probably more indictments coming for this ongoing conspiracy that almost lasted 10 years to not just get Trump, but then to go after, you know, people that they consider to be the deplorables and the trash and the bitter clingers. I mean, this really was kind of a sickness on the left, but they were able to weaponize law enforcement. And it's just wrong.
Hey, are you involved? Let me cover a couple other issues here, because I don't think I've asked you this question. A couple of Fridays ago, I went up to North City and I looked at the tornado damage. I had not been up there yet. And, you know, obviously there was a Wall Street Journal article came out last week about FEMA and saying basically some of the changes, you know, St. Louis is being used as a bit of a test case. Senator Hawley's involved. I know that there is an effort on the part of the entire delegation to make sure that we get the money that's, you know, coming here for the emergency cleanup in particular. But what would you say on that front? Is your office working on that right now?
I was on the ground the day after and was on the phone that weekend with maybe that day, I think, with Susie Wiles and President Trump about what happened in St. Louis. And we were able to get the declaration not just for public property, but for personal property. That was a big deal. And then we were also to work closely with FEMA and DHS and to talk to Kristi Noem to advocate for St. Louis to get the $185 million that's coming for that cleanup. So those are big wins. They're empowering locals to do the work, and FEMA will and the Army Corps will be supervising it. But no question, we're going to be very involved in the oversight of that to make sure that it's being done the right way and St. Louis is getting the help that it needs. But, you know, there are a lot of places that haven't had that money flow, and we worked really hard to make sure that that happened, and we certainly want to make sure that it gets in the right place.
So you referenced, you have your own book out right now. Have you cozied up with Kamala's book, Senator?
I have not. What is it, 91 days? Is that what it's called, something like that?
I think it's 107 or something like that.
107 or something, but...
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, my guess is with her writing it, there'd be a lot of pictures. That'd be,
it's a picture book. That's what it is. And by the way, you have no idea because, you know, I see your social media, and every once in a while, there's a posting on Instagram in particular of Eric Schmidt teeing off at a beautiful golf course with that driver. And I so want to make fun of you and say, hey, you're kind of coming over the top. But I got to tell you, it's a pretty nice swing and you're smashing that ball. It pains me to say that, Eric.
I appreciate it. I like to say I play well enough that President Trump invites me back to play again. So that's my motivation.
Hey, that's pretty good because I've seen, look, everybody's got their unique golf swing, but he can play. There's no doubt about that.
He can play. And when you play with him, it's interesting. There's these, like, he has these super duper fast carts, and he plays pretty fast.
Really?
So you get to your ball. Oh my gosh, you get to your ball. And there was one time where I had hit a drive and it was in a fairway, sand trap, and I didn't hit a good shot on the second one. I didn't hit it very far. And by that time, President Trump was already on the green. So I just picked up my ball and I took a six. I wasn't going to mess with that, but he's a lot of fun to play golf with. And the stories are true. I mean, he has the music. He picks the songs. It's a lot of fun to play golf with him.
That is awesome. Well, no, I do enjoy seeing the videos. All right, Eric, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Thanks for squeezing me in today.
All right, Mark. Take care.
That is United States Senator Eric Schmidt. It does not surprise me that Trump's got like supercharged golf carts, right?
Of course not.
That seems to make sense. Okay. Now, I have to make a correction here, and I'm usually Sue much better at sniffing these things out, but something didn't really sit right with me, so that's why I had to do a little further investigation. I have to credit Tony, who was a listener that brought this to my attention. On the Delta Airlines deal, when the audio that I played, right? Two things, and I think this changes the narrative a bit. The hat, which looked like a MAGA hat, for those people who aren't listening, there's this video that's going viral of this guy on a Delta flight. It looks like he has a MAGA hat on. He doesn't. It says, "Build back better, my ass." But it looks like a MAGA hat. But here's the more important point about that. So that, you know, I think that changes the narrative a little bit. That video is recirculating. The incident actually happened 3 years ago when they were talking about Build Back Better. So it's not a new video. And here's what I'll tell you. There was a story, and I've told you before, I do not, you know, spend a lot of time on Facebook these days. But when I'm super bored or something, I'll go up there, and sometimes I check Facebook Messenger because listeners communicate with me. That's a different app. But anyway, I'll kind of, you know, see whose birthday it is, et cetera. I had three or four different people last week send me a screenshot of someone in Columbia, Missouri, I think it was at Rockbridge High School, being named Homecoming Queen, and it was a trans kid.
Oh, okay.
Now, the deal with that is I think it really did happen, but it was recirculating last week. It happened 3 or 4 years ago. It was not a new story.
Right.
That's what's happened here. This story somehow got picked up, and some of the bigger accounts on Twitter started blasting it out.
Man.
Same thing with Facebook. Now, here's the problem. You know, and I want to correct the record, right, and make sure people know, because I think that the story has now changed. Yeah. But 90% of the people who heard the story aren't going to hear the correction, right? And most of the people probably retweeting it and doing things like that. Look, I've had people insist today, oh, it was a MAGA hat. Well, it wasn't. Now I have a video where it says, "Build back better again, you know, my ass." That's a little different.
It
really is.
And the fact that it's 3 years old, wow.
I know. But I usually sniff these things. I'm disappointed in myself. I usually do better on those.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
He is charged with starting a fire on January 1st, which is the fire that burned down the Palisades. It did take a week to reignite, but he is charged with starting the Palisades fire. He started it on January 1st.
Yeah, that's a crazy story. That's the acting U.S. attorney in Los Angeles making that announcement of the arrest yesterday. Our friend Brian Ping, who's a St. Louis native and an anchored reporter for KNX Radio in Los Angeles, back with us this afternoon. How are you, Brian? Haven't caught up with you in a little while. Hope all is well in your world.
Yeah, long time no see, Mark. Good to be back with you.
Well, what this was kind of something that caught me off guard. And even when the news conference started yesterday, I was like, ho-hum, what are they going to tell us? But the details of this investigation are just fascinating, aren't they?
Yeah, because you have what happened about a week before this, the awful tragedy, where this individual that they arrested just, you know, goes out and lights this fire. They think they have it under control. And then, wouldn't you know, about 6-7 days later, it gets kicked up by 100-mile-an-hour winds, the likes of which many people will never see in their lifetimes. And we all know what happened after that. So it looks like from the official reports, they're going to put a lot of blame on him. But from what we know, it doesn't tell the whole story. A lot of what happened in the aftermath, there's many different people that factor into this from what they did and didn't do.
So what do we know about this kid? And I never like really saying the names of school shooters or people like this, but he was a 29-year-old kid who was an Uber driver. He dropped passengers off in the Palisades, and then they say that, you know, he used AI and Googled something or said, can you be blamed for a fire for your cigarette? But they think they have it nailed down to the moment where he used a lighter, and they have the technology that can prove that he basically just lit this fire.
Right, because they have to rule out a couple of things, and it's somewhere in the investigation they thought it might have been a cigarette, and yeah, one of those Google searches said, hey, you know, can a cigarette cause this? But, you know, that was ruled out. Fireworks were ruled out. The notion that this might have been, you know, some kind of New Year's party, but, you know, they also, you know, went through his devices and saw that he had listened to some French rap song that
right.
depicted, you know, being depressed and burning down a city. And also, yeah, like you said, looking up things on ChatGPT, generating images of a city burning down. So no doubt a mentally disturbed individual. But whether he, you know, foresaw this actually happening, you know, people play out these scenarios in their minds. He goes out of the wilderness and starts a fire and thinks they have it under control. So you really have to wonder whether he intended to do the kind of damage he did, not knowing exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah, and some of what he has said to authorities, I think, since being in custody has been, you know, contradictory to the story that he had told previously, right? And some of that, he tripped up, and that's what people do in situations like this. He got tripped up.
Yeah, exactly. And then he makes his way across the country to Florida. I mean, make no mistake, what he did was a bad thing. He had intent from, you know, what we're being told to do harm. The degree that what he did, I mean, if he wanted to cause mass destruction, mayhem, and terror. I mean, he succeeded beyond his wildest dreams, but it just goes to show what can happen when all the elements are right. And that fire is left to smolder pretty much underground for several days. Typically, if it is on firefighters' radar, which this was, they would sit around to babysit it and do mop-up duty. But apparently there was some evidence that shows they didn't do their due diligence yeah. in that regard.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's some of the reporting I'm seeing in the LA Times, is that there's a lot of questions about why, you know, look, it's not unusual that a fire rekindles days or weeks after it's put out. But in this particular station or situation when you have the fire department that thought that they had that fire under control, that's what makes it a little unusual. Certainly the wind conditions were unique, but there's still some questions about whether or not the firefighters did enough in that particular instance, right?
Yeah, and there was also an after-action report that came out the same day, just hours later. And some of these points just really make your jaw drop. A paperwork error resulted in only one-third of the deployable state resources being pre-positioned ahead of the fire. And we knew the winds were going to be awful several days in advance. We were reporting on that and the capacity for destruction there. 40 LAFD engines were unavailable due to maintenance issues. They set up staging areas that blocked some of the response where they decided to do that. They couldn't get engines to where they needed. A delay in communicating evacuation orders and warnings. There was an awful element to the Eaton fire a few miles away in Altadena, where, you know, alerts were not going out in time, or faulty alerts were being sent out, and a lot of people couldn't respond in time, and some lost their lives over this.
Yeah, it's great. There's so much, and you were with us so often back in January talking about this. I was personally captivated by it and was just amazed by some of the visuals that we're seeing. But this was an interesting development with this young guy, and hopefully it seems like, you know, usually, as you know, when the feds are involved, they have these cases pretty buttoned up. But still some questions, Brian, as you indicated, remain. How the Dodgers going to do in the playoffs here? The Phillies got a little closer last night. I'd like to see the Brewers personally in the World Series, since we're not going to be in the World Series here in St. Louis, Brian, until maybe 2035 or 2040 or 2050.
Yeah, I haven't decided. You know, I'm actually pulling for the Brewers too, because, you know, doing it for Uecker, and I think they're due for some success. I like the Brewers. I like Milwaukee. I like going there, and great fan base. You know, the Dodgers had their fun. Of course, if they succeed, yeah, they're my home team now. Yeah, that's fun and all. But they better win today, that's for sure. You do not want to go back to Philadelphia.
Look, you're talking to someone, one of my career highlights, who was once a brat in the sausage race at Miller Park.
Oh, is that right?
I came in last, but I was in the sausage race at Miller Park. Brian Ping, awesome to have you on. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
All right,
appreciate
take care. Chris Gervino from Columbia, Missouri, is on the Mizzou broadcast team. We'll preview Mizzou and Alabama coming up next.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Well, I had a friend who reached out a short time ago and may have offered me some tickets for the Mizzou Alabama game because I had not planned on going. I'm going to know here within the hour. I think I have to say yes to that offer, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. My friend Chris Trevino, who is on the broadcast crew for Mizzou Tiger football and basketball, with us for a preview of that game. Hello, Chris Trevino. How are you?
Hey, Mark. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited about the way that this football season has started. I did make it for that game where it was like 105 degrees a couple weeks ago, and I was in a suite, thank God. I'll tell you what, though, Chris. You know, as much as I like this team, I want your thoughts on Ahmad Hardy and Bo Pribula, who were interviewed by John Gruden today, which was awesome. But this Ty Simpson kid, let's start with the kid from Alabama. I watched him against Vanderbilt last week, and he looks really hard to contain, and they have a pretty good offensive line. So the Tigers are up against it, aren't they?
They really are. He might be the best quarterback in the country the way he's played so far, Mark. Of course, they had the rough game in the opener, the loss to Florida State, but boy, was that a wake-up call, because since then he and they have been just tremendous. 13 touchdown passes, just one interception, and he's completing about 70% of his passes. And yeah, you know your stuff. Their offensive line is terrific. The left tackle, a guy named Caden Proctor from Des Moines, Iowa, 6'7", 366 pounds. Oh, he protects the blind side of the quarterback. And then the center, Parker Brailsford, is a terrific player. In fact, is the offensive lineman of the week in the SEC. So they've got a trio of wide receivers that are dangerous. I mean, they're Alabama, right? They're usually pretty good. And after a slow start, are they going to be a real test? But how exciting it ought to be Saturday, right?
On the flip side, this story of Ahmad Hardy and what he's doing, or just overall what Mizzou's doing with the run game, Bama has had some challenges with the run game. They've given up some big plays. So, Hardy, just talk about this kid, because we had hoped going into the season as a transfer, he was going to be able to, you know, maybe improve what we had, certainly last year, and he's done more than that, and maybe if he has a good weekend this weekend, should be talked about for the Heisman Trophy.
Well, I think that's right, and again, you're right on it. I mean, Bama has given up some yardage on the ground, so that could bode well for Missouri. Their focal point, Alabama's, has to be on Hardy. He's been outstanding. I've used the line a couple of times now, including on our broadcast, one of the recent games. I watched him in preseason camp, and my eyes about popped out of my head. I mean, I was so impressed by this guy running so fast, hitting the hole quickly, and then just running right over anybody who'd get in his way. I mean, he's just been an outstanding addition, 730 yards already. And, of course, with Jamal Roberts as backup there from St. Louis, the two of them have combined for 1,080 yards. They're the best rushing duo in all of college football right now. They've been that good. So he is really going to get the ball, I would say, early and often, and Alabama knows that, but they're going to have to stop him. And again, to your initial point, they have struggled a little bit against the run. I'm sure it's a focal point for them in preparation for this game, but Hardy will come at them, and if he has his way, he'll run right through them or around them.
I can't wait to see that. Talk a little bit about Bo Pribula. You know, none of us as fans, we're excited. I was excited when he transferred from Penn State. You know, when I watched film, I thought this kid, you know, dual threat, he can run the ball, he can pass the ball, seems to have a good arm. He's impressed me from the very beginning. He really seems mature. He's got a lot of composure, and I love what he's doing on the field. Now, having said that, you know, this is not a team that's had big, huge explosive plays too often. I love this Kevin Coleman kid, and I think he needs to be a big part of this weekend for Bo to have success against Alabama.
Right. Coleman, another kid from St. Louis and St. Mary, has been a great addition at receiver from Mississippi State, transferring here from there. But Pribula's been really good. He came from Penn State, didn't play much there behind Drew Aller, who's back for another season at Penn State, and many think will be a first-round pick. So Pribula wanted to transfer to go where he could play and start, and here he is at Missouri, and he's done a nice job too, completing 76% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, good runner and passer. You know, the one thing I think he's got to be careful of now is the turnovers. Alabama's number one in the country in turnover margin. They are +9. They've only turned it over one time, that lone interception by Simpson. Pribula has thrown an interception in each of his last three games. And, of course, he had the fumble. That was a scoop and score for Kansas, which really gave the Jayhawks that lead and kept that game closer. So he's not been horrendous with the football or really careless, but an interception each of the last three games, the Bama defense, their ball hawks back there in the secondary. So he's got to be really on the mark and make good decisions. But all in all, he's been really good for Missouri. I think he's given the Tigers what they hoped for and needed at that quarterback spot, and they just want him to protect the ball and keep moving forward with this group.
Look, you have a real opportunity to beat Alabama in a great, great climate at the stadium. It looks weird in there, Chris, with the north end zone work, I'll tell you that. It's going to be fun when it's finished, though.
Oh, for sure. It's going up so quickly. It's amazing, Mark. I've got to be careful driving by there at that busy intersection because you always want to glance over and see. So I kind of work my way to a red light if I can. But it is going so fast, that construction. And it is really a construction zone, of course, this season. But they are right on, if not ahead of schedule. And it'll certainly be all in place for opening day next season.
I'm not ready to move past football yet. We got a lot of football, but I got to ask you a little bit here, and we'll have a deeper conversation when the season starts. But Dennis Gates, not only does he have an intriguing team coming in for this season, but the roster and the signees, if you will, that he has for next season are amongst the best in the country, Gervino, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Right now, by the ratings, for what they're worth, Missouri's number one in the country in terms of high school signees for next year. They've got Jason Crow, a left-handed guard from California, the Inglewood area, who's a great scoring guard and is highly rated player in recruiting since Michael Porter Jr. here about 8 years ago. They've got a big guy, Tony Bryant from Tampa, Florida, very athletic, runs the floor, another top 30 kid nationwide. And they've signed Aiden Chronister, a 6'8 shooter from Rogers, Arkansas, really sharp shooter. So they've got three guys, and really it's nice to kind of plug in, you know, a guard, big guy, and a kind of in-between guy who can really shoot it. So it's a great start for next year's recruiting class, for the class of 26. And, of course, they hope to have a good season between now and then, a season that's about to start here, hard to believe, in just 3 weeks.
It is hard to believe that that's going to happen. All right, Chris, thanks. Have fun this weekend. I mean, this is just so much fun, SEC football. You got two highly ranked teams. It made me a little nervous that Mizzou moves up when they don't play during the bye week. I do think this is going to be a tough game, but let's hope that we can make fewer mistakes and bring this home, because that would be a hell of a start. 6-0, then you're really in the conversation for the playoff. I mean, you got to win this game or you're probably not in that conversation.
Right. It's a big game. It's really exciting. Another sellout, and I'm glad you'll be here. I hope you're here, Mark. It'll be a great weekend here. Early start, so you better leave St. Louis early Saturday morning.
My tickets are not confirmed yet. They were offered. I'm going to know before the evening is up, but I'll let you know. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Okay, Mark.
Right,
thank
care.
You.
We will have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow at 3 as we take you into the weekend. Jane gets one more week off. We'll have Jeff Rainford on the panel, the comptroller of the city of St. Louis, Donna Behringer, new in that role. Donna was a regular on the Roundtable, and then she was elected. It's hard for me to believe I guess it was like 6 months ago, because that was the spring election, right?
Was it?
Yeah, because Carol, remember the mayor's race, they had the primary.
Right. We were sitting at fish fries with her.
Right. It hasn't been a year, but Donna's been very focused on the job, but she will make a triumphant return to the Roundtable, kind of pinch hitting for Jane tomorrow. Mike Elam from the St. Charles County Council. And Mike, of course, is someone you hear quite often here on 97.1 FM Talk filling in. We'll have Paul Hall on entertainment, and he'll talk about the new movie, which is called Soul on Fire. It opens actually tonight. My daughter and I are going to see it. I have not had a chance to see this story of John O'Leary. It's an amazing, inspirational story. I hope they do it justice with this film. It opens officially today across the country. They're promoting the living daylights out of it, which is so encouraging. They have a big marketing budget. And I think it's the, you know, one of the things that I've said about my my time as a film critic for really 3 decades, Sue, I did, you know, movie stuff on television and radio in a variety of markets. And one of the things that would always happen at this time of year, even though I like some of the artsy-fartsy stuff, it's also driven by social blah, blah, blah. They're preaching at you about this. And believe me, a whole slew of those movies are about to come out as well. But in this particular case, I mean, think about it. We know John's story here in St. Louis. He was burned when he was a child. He set himself on fire. He was playing with fire, right?
Yeah.
And he almost dies. And then Jack Buck, legendary Cardinals broadcaster, gets involved happenstance and ends up getting the credit from John for surviving, for his survival. So to have the rest of the country see a story like this that is true, but by the way, this also filmed in St. Louis, which is cool because
super cool.
We'll get to see. This will be fun because typically it just doesn't happen. It was the story that was out. Oh, this might go back about 10 years. It was about the kid out in St. Charles that was in the middle of the lake and fell through the ice.
Oh,
and,
that's right.
Man, they did that movie was okay, but they didn't film it here.
Yeah.
Not
and that's part
here.
Of the thing. You got to have it authentic.
Well, and that's what John told me the last time he was on that director. I forget his name. I'll refresh my memory by tomorrow night. That he really, once Mr. O'Leary brought him here to St. Louis and started showing him the sites, including
said, yeah.
Busch Stadium, he said, oh, we have got to do it here. So it's my understanding that even John's parents' home where this all took place is featured in the film as well.
You can't beat that.
Yeah, so we'll have John tomorrow night at 5:30. Patrick Myers will be here. We'll do a little music in the 5 o'clock hour. He's the lead singer of a band called Killer Queen. Now, you know you have tribute bands and cover acts out there, but let me compare Killer Queen on a much bigger scale than even El Monstero, which is from here in St. Louis. And El Monstero is great. You know, they do this run at the pageant every year. It usually sells out. They're a Pink Floyd tribute band. They've played Verizon Wireless. They've played it. Big venues. They played Chicago and Kansas City, but they're a little bit more regional, right? Killer Queen, this guy, Patrick Myers, from London, and he kind of started this when he was in college, didn't think it was going to go anywhere. It's been his whole life.
Wow.
And, you know, essentially started the project shortly after Freddie Mercury died. And I've seen some of the videos. I mean, the dude that plays Brian May in the band looks exactly like Brian
that,
May.
I love it when that happens.
I mean, Patrick has a Freddie look. You know, he's got the mustache, and he certainly has the look to it, but it's not quite as stark as looking at his guitar player, who really does look like Brian May. Okay, we have the St. Louis Blues are in action tonight.
Woo.
Sue, as you know, not too far from where we sit right now, the hockey season. There's a lot of hope for this season, I think, too. Cusumano spoke to this on Monday. We'll get Frank on again on Friday, but Chris Kerber was on last night. This is also a new era for the broadcast team. They wrote about all this in The Athletic.
Did they
morning.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, I haven't spoken. I had Kerber on the show last night. I haven't talked to Chris since this decision was made to put, you know, he and Joey Vitale on the television and the radio. Obviously, I think there was a little controversy to that. But the one thing that popped from the story in The Athletic, and I completely understand that, because from the very first time, nothing against Chris, he's a friend and he's a great broadcaster, but from the very moment I met Joey Vitale, I'm like, this kid is going to be a star. He's got a dynamic personality. He's a good-looking guy. He
that never hurts.
But he's just, he's a real dude, and people feel that. And yeah. I think what happened here, nothing against John Kelly, and he's got a great gig in L.A., is that the folks from FanDuel saw this potential in Joey in particular, you know, bringing new fans in. So I know it's controversial, and a lot of people feel bad for John because, you know, he's such a big part of the broadcast team, but I'm looking forward to seeing how this is all going to work out. And along those lines here tonight.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, it has to be John Gruden, who became the biggest St. Louis Blues fan last spring when they kind of made a late run into the playoffs. Here he is.
Mike Caruso sent me a St. Louis Blues, New Jersey, man, for tonight's game. 8 o'clock. Check it out. The Minnesota Wild are rolling into town, man. It's hockey season. We got our head coach, Montgomery. What a ball club we have. We still got my man, Jordan Binnington, between the pipes. Captain Braden Shen. I know Shen. I slapped him right on his shoulder pad coming out of the locker room. How about Colton Pareko? You like that guy, Jake?
Yeah, I like
him. How about my favorite guy, Pavel Buchnevich?
Yeah.
I'm going to be an announcer. Hey, you got Braden Shen over here. How about Chris Pronger, man? You going to be up in a booth having a Bud Light? Let's freaking go. It's hockey season. Coach Jim Montgomery, Claude Julien, and our general manager, Armstrong. Look at these jerseys, man. Is this freaking awesome?
That's cool.
This is real St. Louis Blues stuff. Woo! Let's go, Blues! I hope you don't get off the bus, you Minnesota Wildcats. See ya.
How does he have much energy?
I mean,
it's
that incredible.
Much fun, isn't it? I mean, that's the best way to get ready. For those of you sitting in your car trying to park right now, John Gruden got you fired up. Sue, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
You got it.
Have a great night.
Get more at 971talk.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.